Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We continue on here with the thought, 3 days and three nights. Well, Brother Jim, I thought we were done with 3 days and three nights. Well, here's the thing. We took a look at the day before the 3 days and three nights, and I tell you what, if we take a look at the 3 days and three nights, we got to take a look at the day after them. Amen? Amen. The resurrection. 3 days and three nights, the resurrection. Here, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 38, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth," which we've seen that come to pass in the scripture, and how it was that the Lord was crucified, and then he was there in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and then he rose from the dead. It goes on to say here, the next two verses, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Jonah did, after being there 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, did come forth from the whale, didn't he? The Lord didn't leave him there. He wasn't 3 days and three nights plus some more days, but he came out of there to be used of the Lord for the preaching that he bid him. And then the queen of the south, in verse 42, "shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear of the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." To you that are here that are not saved, I challenge you to consider these last two verses that the Lord has given, and we see him speaking here. What are you doing with the message and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that's come to you? The greatest one of all has spoken from his word right here to you. What are you doing with that? Are you rejecting that and ignoring that? Or are you seeking the Lord's face in it? We encourage you that you seek the Lord's face in these things that he said. Solomon passed away. The inhabitants of Nineveh passed away. But the Son of God, he's forever. Amen. Are you hearing him? Do you believe in him and trust in him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the new year. We thank you for your blessings in the past year, Father, and the way that you helped us and strengthened us and blessed us as a church. Lord, you have been so good to us, and we praise your name for that. Lord, in this new year that's coming, we pray, Father, that you would save all that are in our midst that are not saved. We know, Father, that you can, and we pray, Father, that you would. Even that today would be the day of their salvation, Father, that they might see Jesus precious to the salvation of their souls. And Lord, that they would, through your word and through your working, Father, that you would open their eyes and open their hearts and their ears, Lord, that they might just see Jesus and that he's the only way. Lord, that they might repent of their sins before you and know, Father, that they are guilty, wicked sinners before you, Father, and that you would save them and add them to the church here. We pray that you'd help us as a church. We might serve you well. Help us to worship you today. And Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. Help us with your word, and Father, help us so we might believe you and trust you in your word, and Lord, just work as you only can. We pray your blessings upon us. We thank you for your blessings in the day. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, as we consider about the 3 days and three nights, they did come to an end, and they came to an end by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to review these things, what the scripture says about the resurrection, and then put that together and then see what the Lord says regarding his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28, and I want you to open up your mind and your heart, that it would just to take in the word of the Lord and look into these things and retain them, because we're going to try to take and put some things together that we just might have understanding of the events of that first day of the week, so many 2,000 some years ago, when our Lord and Savior rose from the dead and appeared to his church. In Matthew 28, verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week," not dawning towards the morning, but dawning towards the first day of the week, and we understand the evening and the morning is the first day, and that day beginning at 6 p.m. or so at sundown, came Mary Magdalene and the others to see the sepulchre. So it is in that next day that they come. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Remember that. And for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it to let the Lord out, right? No, he was already gone. He's already gone. Other passages that we read will prove that. It was so that the disciples and others could see in. His countenance was like lightning. Oh, I tell you what, I like a good lightning storm when I'm in a reasonably secure building. I don't mind standing out on the porch and watching a lightning storm, but if there's trees around, that does make me kind of nervous for a while if it's close. But this angel had the appearance of lightning. That's bright, isn't it? I mean, that would make you say, as my dad would say, that'd make you squinch, right? You'd squint up your eyes. He was bright, wasn't he? And then this was the angel that was there. And his raiment, white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Remember those guys? That was the watch that was set by the leadership of the Jews going to Pilate and saying, deceiver. This deceiver said that he would raise from the dead 3 days and three nights later, and so set a watch over it, lest his disciples come and steal him away, and they say and try to make good on his claim. These are the fellows that are here still keeping watch, if I understand it right. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. The angel spoke unto the women. They were the ones that came first. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He said he was going to raise from the dead, and he did. Come take a look. Come take a look. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. What a mix, huh? They're glad that the Lord has risen from the dead, but they're fearful in what they have seen. And what a mixed bag of emotion. What a mixture of emotion with fear and gladness, with fear and great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, and go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Remember those guys? Those are the guys watching over the sepulchre. And showed it unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and they had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Large money. That term gets used even today for a bribe. I need large money to keep my mouth shut. I need large money to not tell what I know. I need large money to not tell what I know about you. Bribery, extortion. That's what they said. They gave them large money and unto the soldiers, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And so bail out on your ability as soldiers to keep guard over anything and say that somehow with just little swords, they came and overpowered you. They snuck in, came in the back way. Whatever the story is, you make it up that they came and they stole Jesus of Nazareth's body away. He says, and stole him away while ye slept. And so they made the claim that they slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Because see, if they slept on guard, what should happen to them? They would die. They would give their lives for bailing out on their charge from their leader, the leader of their group, their legion, or however that was. And when they were saying, they said that they stole him away while you slept. Verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, this is a known thing that had happened. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. We've seen that in other passages, or the reviewing even of these passages, that there on Passover day, when the Lord was crucified, they saw that he would die, and they had purchased up spices to anoint him, and then even did so after his death. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they brought 100-pound weight of that anointing, that when they prepared his body and all that. And these women were going to do more so for the Lord's body after those many days that we've reviewed. After the Sabbath, after the first on the first day of the week. And so that was their thought, and that was their preparation. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And so that's when they come. But the Lord is already gone. He's already out of the tomb, out of the sepulcher there. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" That was some of their thinking. And they said among themselves, verse 4. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. So they see the angel, one of the angels that is there. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." They said, "Take a look. This is where they laid him. You saw where they laid him. He's not here. He's gone. He is gone." Verse 7. "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, and as he said unto you." Verse 8. "And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed." That was that joy. And then that great fear, all that mixed bag of emotion that they had. They were glad that the Lord's body was not in there. They, as they went on, they had thoughts in their hearts and minds about what had happened to the Lord's body. But then seeing the angel and the countenance and the raiment of the angels and the great stone having been rolled back. And no doubt they had felt the earthquake. There was a great earthquake. Not a localized earthquake outside of Jerusalem over there at the Olivet, where we believe and understand at Gethsemane or Olivet, where the sepulcher is. Okay, and so they went home quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Were amazed. Verse 8. Neither said they anything to any, for they were afraid. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. So now we have more being revealed about the Lord and his appearing. First, they've seen that his body is missing. Now we have an indication that he is appearing to some of his disciples. First to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Ah! Is that typical of us or what? Well, I don't want to include you in on it. Is that typical of me? Father, I pray that you would work in this thing and that you would help my brother or my sister, or help my child, or help our situation, or whatever, you know, whatever it is we're praying for. And then word comes and says, so-and-so has turned out great and everything. And I say, really? Oh, boy, may the Lord help us. And that's the way they've been praying. They were sorrowful. They were mourned. They wanted the Lord back with them. But it was impossible for him to be back with them, right? They'd seen him crucified. They saw the soldier stab him in his side, and blood and water gushed out. There's no hope. When they pierce you in the side and blood and water come out, there's no hope. Heart's already exploded. It's all mingled together. The body fluids are. It's done. There isn't going to be life. And so they believe not. Verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them. We got more information there. As they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. So there's some other two that the Lord appears to. They don't believe them either. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You know what, brothers and sisters, our expectation of one another is that we will not lie one to another. That needs to be our expectation. And our expectation of the Lord when we pray to him is not to doubt. That should be our expectation. Amen. That is what the Lord, I believe this is what the Lord is indicating. When you pray, believe that you receive what you're praying for. Even impossible things. Now, not for the consumption of our own flesh and our desire, the even the ease that we have, and not think, I don't think it's wrong to go to the Lord with something that's right and reasonable or something that we would desire, but the Lord is just not a big sugar daddy waiting to take care of us with just every whim and every whim that we would have. I mean, if the Lord wants to give me $1 million, he'll give me $1 million, but you know, frankly, I don't need $1 million. I just need what I need to get through today. And then tomorrow, count on the Lord to take care of that. That's what I need for me and my family. But nevertheless, this was the case. And so he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Oh, may God, and may God help me as the pastor here at Olmsted Baptist Church. And in that sense, being a leader in the church, may God help me. You pray for me that I not have a hard heart. Amen. You pray for me that I not be unbelieving. Because see, that's what's going on here. The leadership has been chided because they, being the leadership that the Lord has placed there first in the church, right? Don't we understand that from the scriptures? They did not believe. Amen. And if the leadership does not believe, what expectation for those who are being led to believe? That all is rolled in there together about the office of a pastor and the expectation that the Lord and the requirement that the Lord has there in that man. Luke chapter 24. Let's take a look over here. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared. So the women are bringing those and certain others with them. Verse 2, Luke 24, 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Two angels are there. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? When the Lord dealt with the Sadducees that came and they brought that hypothetical situation of one woman over the course of time having been married to seven brothers. In the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? They mocked. They mocked about the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe anything about the resurrection. And the Lord ultimately chided them, and they don't believe in angels, and they don't believe in the Spirit. And the Lord said unto them, in the resurrection, they're not married or given in marriage, but they're as the angels. He thumped that one, that there is a resurrection. He thumped that one, that there is angels, all right?
That's right.
And they're as the angels. They're not married or given in marriage. And he goes on to say that they did greatly err because they didn't know the word of God and they didn't know the power of God. Because God said, he's not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. He says unto Moses, and that's what the Lord refers back to, that God said unto Moses out of the burning bush, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, wait a minute. At Moses' time, where was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Dead. But were they dead? Their bodies had died, but they were alive with the Lord. He says, I am the God, present tense, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He told them, and he said, you do greatly err because you know not the scripture. And so here they see these two and they bow down their faces. And he says here in verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. He says, there in verse 5, why seek ye the living among the dead? Because the Lord lives forevermore. He died once and was dead for 3 days and three nights. And that's all it took to do and to prove what he needed to do and prove. And he's alive forevermore. God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He gives life. Now, I think that there's a point that's related there to the eternal security of the believer. The eternal security of the child of God. One that the Lord saves. God's not going to mess around having people that can be saved, children that can be saved and not saved and be saved and not saved. Because you know what's happening there? Life, death, life, death, life, death. God doesn't work that way. He's the God. He's alive himself and he gives life. He's alive forevermore, and those that he gives life are alive forevermore. You and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to be alive in Christ as long as he lives. And my Bible tells me he's going to live. He lives forever, evermore. And so he says here, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He is not here, verse 6, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. That's what we need to do, is remember what the Lord says. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. There's that disbelief of the women. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre. He did get curious, didn't he? He ran to the sepulchre and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed wondering himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Now, Emmaus is a town that's about 7.5 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Okay? So not real, real close, but not real, real far. Somewhere in that 5 to 7.5 miles range northwest of Jerusalem. And so these two, they go to Emmaus. And it tells us that there's two, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That confirms the distance. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, remember that, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. There's been a report that his body is not gone. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. So they were there before they departed to Emmaus for that report, very early in the morning. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther. He made as if he was going to continue on. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. He's gone. He was there with them. He blessed the bread that they were going to eat, and he gave it to them. He opened their eyes, and then he's gone. See, the angels didn't need to come and roll back the stone so the Lord Jesus Christ could get out.
Right.
They came back and they rolled the stone away so the disciples could see in that the Lord was gone. And so here these on the road to Emmaus have seen the Lord. You know, this is what we need. We need the Lord to show us and expound unto us the scriptures that we might understand them and how they apply to Him. You know, we need to ask Him for that. We need our eyes opened that we might see the Lord in His glory, as Isaiah did in one of the Gospels. I believe it's the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke, as it refers to Isaiah. When he saw the glory of the Lord, he was so touched, so moved, so constrained by the greatness of God that when the Lord said, "Who are we going to send to the nation?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." We need to see the glory of the Lord. We need to see it. And we need to hear Him speak of Himself and open up the scriptures unto us. Our hearts and minds and all that we are need to be bent towards that. He vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the scriptures?" I tell you what, I pray for us in the coming year, each member of Olmsted Baptist Church, that as we look into the Word of God and as we seek the Lord's face in His Word, that our hearts would burn.
Amen.
With the Word of God. I tell you what, there's nothing better than to be reading the Word of God and to just be stirred by the Lord and the truth of God's Word within, just you and the Lord there together. It's a blessing. It's a blessing and a wonder as the Lord just speaks to us and shows us the truth of what He's done for us. See, this account of the Lord dying, being buried and being there in the grave for 3 days and three nights and then raising from the dead. This is what the Lord did for us. Yeah, it's true for us, but this is what He did for you. For you. He did this for you. If there had been no one else to save but you, He would have done the same thing for you. This is what He did for you. It's a personal salvation indeed. Did not our heart burn within us, verse 32. Verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." That was the report of those that they found there. And they told what things were done in the way and that He was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, verse 36, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." Here, these two on the road to Emmaus, they heard some of the report about the Lord's body being missing. And those that went back to confirm at the sepulcher that the Lord's body was missing. But they did not hear the report that the Lord had been seen of the disciples. And they load up and they head towards Emmaus, as said again, some 7.5 miles or so northwest of Jerusalem. They return and tell the disciples that the Lord had appeared unto them. And one of the ones that is mentioned here is Cleopas. Cleopas, he's the one that is mentioned, but there are two. I want you to turn over quickly to John chapter 19. It may be that these two were Cleopas and his wife. Cleopas and his wife. In John chapter 19, verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, whose name was Mary, right? And his mother's sister, and second woman, and Mary, the wife of Cleopas. Okay? So it looks like Cleopas and Mary returned to Emmaus and the Lord appeared unto them. Now we go on to John chapter 20, which you're close, right there across the page or so, and let's read of this account. In John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. And so now we see that the sun is not risen, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. So Mary has come early and have seen it. There are those that are with Mary, but this account just tells about Mary and her giving the report to Peter and John. Okay? And so we have to take all of the accounts in the Gospels to put them together to have an understanding of the events that happened. And here, that's the account that John writes about, because he's one of the ones that Mary Magdalene came to and told. They've taken the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, that's John, speaking of himself, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. John gets there first, and he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So John is there at the opening of the sepulcher, but did not go in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre. Peter goes on in, right? And seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And if we understand right with Middle Eastern culture, that when you take your napkin and you fold it a certain way and put it together in an orderly way, and you set it there at your place where you're eating, that's a sign, that's a symbol to those, a token to those that see that you're coming back.
Amen.
That you're coming back.
That's right. Amen.
If you take the napkin and you just plump it all together there with the plate and everything that's there, you're done. But whether the significance is there or not, maybe it is, maybe it's not. I wouldn't get dogmatic about it, but it is mentioned here in the Scriptures.
Amen.
And so here it's wrapped together in a place by itself that Jesus is coming back. Listen to what the Scripture says. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. He saw that the Lord's body was gone. He believed that the Lord's body was gone. Maybe because of what's written here, he also believed that the Lord was returning. Verse 9, for as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. The Lord had told them and told them and told them, but they still did not have a handle on that. Verse 10, then the disciples went away again to their own home, but Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher herself. So Mary came and told the disciples, told John and Peter and John. And then as they ran back, she evidently went with them. Okay, so this is Mary's second trip, as we understand it, back to the tomb. And so she stood without and weeping, stooped down, looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting. So now she sees the angels again. The angels didn't appear to the men, but the angels appeared to those women that were there. And seeth two angels in white sitting, and the one at the head and the other at the feet where it had been, where the body of the Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So she turns back to look. She hears a commotion, or she hears or she's just turning from what the angels had told her. And she sees Jesus there, but she doesn't know that it's Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, Mary. You know, in salvation, in the visitation of the Lord, as I mentioned earlier about salvation being so very, very personal, so very, very intimate with each and every one of us, do you remember the Lord calling your name? He said, Mary. Mary. Oh, for the Lord to call our name. What great love. What great care. He saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. There's much debate about this passage. What if Mary would have touched the Lord? What would have happened? Listen, Mary couldn't have touched the Lord. If Mary would have tried to touch the Lord, she would have been stopped or it would have been to her detriment. I believe that what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ had not ascended to the Father to present himself alive as the sacrifice offered by God and to appear before the Lord to report and to say, it is finished. Mary couldn't have touched him. Had she had touched him, I take it that with the Lord saying that for her not to touch him, that some way he would have been defiled. But listen, there's no way for the Lord to be defiled. He won't be defiled. Mere men cannot compromise our Lord and Savior. But he gave her instruction and she obeyed. And that's the way it is. And there's no need to wonder about anything else. Because he would not be defiled. Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. The order of events, as we get from these, the four Gospels and the accounts therein, to me seem to go like this. And listen on, and I am interested in you that are members of the church. I am interested in your input, but let's consider these passages and consider what we have seen in the scripture. First, the Lord raises from the grave shortly after the beginning of the first day of the week, Sunday. But it's as we accounted, it's 6 p.m. or so Saturday. Sometime in that night, the Lord raises from the dead. The disciples go ahead and they sleep that night, but rise early to go to the tomb, as we have seen. Mary Magdalene and the other women go to the tomb, taking the spices to apply them to the Lord's body. There's a great earthquake. They find the door rolled back from the tomb by the angel. They find those there keeping the sepulcher secure. They find that they're scared to death, right? They became as dead men. The angels tell them that the Lord is risen. One angel on the inside we've seen, one angel on the outside at different times sitting upon the stone, and then two angels within during the course of the events. They return then to tell the other disciples. There are those that go and go back and return. The word has come that the Lord's body is missing. And there are those that just can't bear the report. They don't believe it, but Peter and John do go, don't they? And Peter and John and Mary and maybe some others return to the tomb. John beats Peter to the tomb and looks in. Peter goes on into the tomb when he arrives. John goes into the tomb and they see the napkin wrapped by itself in a separate place. And Peter and John return to the other disciples to tell them, right? But Mary stays, doesn't she? Mary stays. Well, at that report of Peter and John coming back, Cleopas and his wife Mary, they leave for Emmaus, right? They heard the initial report of the women. They heard of those that went there to the tomb to confirm that the Lord's body was gone. And then they take off and they leave for Emmaus because they don't hear of anybody seeing the Lord himself. The angels then and the Lord appear there to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Touch me not, the Lord says to Mary. Some of the disciples, possibly Peter or others, return to the tomb again for a look for themselves. Because see, the report first came that the Lord's body's missing. But then Mary goes back to the disciples once again and says to them, I've seen the Lord and he said these things to me. So no doubt, it's like they're wearing a path. They're wearing a path out from that room where they're assembled there to the tomb and back. And so they go back again because we have a count that the Lord has appeared to Peter. And so we don't see in the account that he appeared to Peter in Peter's first trip to the tomb, but we do have an account that we read in one of the Gospels that as those disciples were returning back to tell the other disciples, they met the Lord, they held him by his feet. Remember, he told Mary, "Touch me not," right? They hold him by his feet. And so Peter and John return to tell the disciples. The Lord and the angels appear to Mary Magdalene, where he says to her, "Touch me not." Some of the disciples, no doubt Peter amongst them, return to the tomb for a look for themselves, to look for the Lord himself. As they return back with the other disciples, the Lord appears to them. They hold him by the feet, and they worship him there. The Jews' leadership bribed the guards of the sepulcher, right? Remember that? They come into the city and tell the account about the earthquake and the stone rolled back and the angels and them falling there as dead men. The Lord reveals himself to the two on the road to Emmaus, and they return that night to tell the disciples. As those two that went to Emmaus, Cleopas and seemingly his wife Mary, as they arrive there to tell the disciples, the Lord appears to the church for the first time, upbraids the leadership for the hardness of their heart. He speaks unto his church, "Peace be unto you." And he says unto them, "Behold my hands and behold my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." He eats a piece of fish and a piece of honeycomb, and he opens their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The resurrection. It's so, and it's true, and the account is there. More evidence that we see, not only the account of the Gospels, but more evidence that we see in the scripture itself about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. Acts chapter 1, evidences of the Lord's resurrection. We've seen the accounts in the Gospels, but then there are other evidences here in the Scripture. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Remember, this thing of Pentecost is ticking off. We saw that. It started, Pentecost started with that first day of those 50 days where the men were to take the sheaf of their in the feast of first fruits, the feast of first fruits, the feast of weeks, they were to take that. They were to take the lamb, and that was the beginning of that count of 50 days. After the Lord's resurrection, there's another day or so that is taken from that 50 days, and so there about the 48th day or 47th day or so, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be with his church, meeting with them, teaching them for 40 days during the course of that. They saw him not just once, not just the first day that he had risen from the dead, but they saw him over and over and over and over again for better than a month. For better than a month, the Lord met with them. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. And so an evidence of the disciples there being with the Lord, him being with them for 40 days after his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. The chapter that tells us about the concise account of the gospel, and then goes on and makes the great stand about the necessity of the resurrection and the greatness of the resurrection. We read here in the beginning of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas." That's right. Okay? That second trip back that Peter made, seemingly when he was on his way back to the disciples, the Lord appeared unto him and those that were with him. They held him by the feet and they worshiped him. Then he was seen of the 12. There when the Lord was with the church during those 40 days. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. There's a 500 brethren that were assembled together during that 40 days and saw the Lord Jesus Christ, not to mention the women, not to mention the children. They were there together. There were many that were there of the church and in the church during that 40 days of the Lord's teaching and appearing to his church, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. You can go and find them and ask them now, but some are fallen asleep or dead. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So there was in the course of that 40 days. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. The apostle Paul testifies, I saw him on the road to Damascus, and I saw him when he took me up into that third heaven. I have seen the Lord too. And so other evidences of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Here in Galatians chapter 2 is another evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the scripture says here. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Child of God, are you crucified with Christ? Isn't that what you were saying when you were baptized, that you identified with Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection for you? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what's it say? I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, amen, who loved me and gave himself for me, amen, and rose from the dead. You know what? You and I that are saved, we that are saved, we are evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be a witness of it, present day, present tense, a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of that indeed. No, we didn't see the tomb, did we? And we didn't see our Savior hanging on the tree. We didn't see where they laid our Savior in that tomb. We didn't see where his body was missing. We didn't see him appear to us as we were going back and forth. But we know by virtue of the salvation that he's brought to us that he's risen from the dead. Amen. He rose from the dead to give me life and to save my soul and your soul if you're here and saved. John 11. Jesus is everything, isn't he? Is he not the all in all? We've seen he's the Passover. He's the daily sacrifice. He is the first fruits. And you know what? He is the resurrection, isn't he? He is the resurrection. If it wasn't for him, there would not be. Look here what he tells Lazarus's sister here in John 11:25. You know the account. He's speaking to Martha, and Jesus said unto her in verse 25, John 11:25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Listen, believest thou this? What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and life? I tell you what I do. I do. He rose from the dead to give me life. He rose from the dead to back up the promises that he's made to me. You know, one day I'm going to see my Savior face to face. Amen. If you're here and saved, you're going to see him face to face too. And you know what? When we see him, we will see him as he is, for we shall be like him. And you know what? He lives forever. And if we're like him, we'll live forever too. If you're here and you're not saved, what do you believe about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we point you to Him. He is precious indeed. May the Lord help you and bless you to see your need of Him. Repent and believe the gospel.